Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And of course, like I said, Dr. Manda with some leadership nuggets this afternoon is back. Now, if you don't know who he is, it means you are new to this family. But anyway, let me just give you a brief on who Dr. Manda is. So Dr. Manda Chifolaro is actually the founding director of Superlead Advisory, and he specializes in strategy, operations, and leadership development. He's a strategist, leadership coach, and an author of Lead with Super Clarity, a globally recognized facilitator, and he has moderated high-profile events. Once again, good afternoon, Dr. Manda, and welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon, Luko. Thank you so much. Sorry we couldn't do last week.
Yes.
I think the long weekend and the Easter got the better of some of us.
Yeah, some of these, like you said, holidays, I don't know. I don't know what's the need, but here we are. Here we are. We understand their significance and whatnot, but yeah, we're not going to go through that again. Here we are.
No, here we are. I must tell you, it's amazing when you look at it from another country. There was a year, I think 2 years ago, I spent the month of April outside of South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And so we were kind of doing the work from Monday to like Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to, family, friends here in South Africa, every other day felt like, you know, they were on holiday. But now when I'm here, I'm just like, this is good. But
yeah. Then
you're somewhere else, you're like, did you ever do any work that whole month? It just feels like this, yes. Holiday after holiday after holiday. But here we are.
Especially this time around, we had the Passover weekend. And I mean, this week alone, we've got this public holiday and there's another one coming on Thursday. But it's all right. We are not complaining. We are enjoying the holidays.
Of course.
Now, Dr. Manda, a couple of weeks ago, or let me say the last time we had a chat, we actually kicked off with building teams that thrive series, you know, by exploring one of the most fundamental, or rather foundational, aspects of team effectiveness, which is psychological safety. It was a powerful reminder that the way people feel on a team, you know, safe, seen, and able to speak up, actually affects everything from creativity to collaboration. So, Dr. Manda, before we actually move on to today's theme, can you briefly recap for somebody who wasn't listening the key takeaways from last week's, or rather the previous time's conversation? And, you know, please introduce us to the next element that helps a team to truly thrive.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we kicked off a week before last this episode on building thriving teams. In the last episode, we sort of used a framework that we think that, you know, it sort of covers many, many, many frameworks, and we don't want to make it super, super academic. And to that point, we went and introduced Google's Project Aristotle study that explored what makes teams effective. The team at Google, after analyzing hundreds of attributes of teams, they identified five key elements that set Google's teams apart. And the first one was psychological safety. Second one was dependability. Third, structure and clarity. And then fourth, meaning. And then the last one was the impact of work. We focus on psychological safety, which is a belief that you can take risk. Mm-hmm. You can speak up within a team without the fear of being shamed or being bullied or being shut down. And this idea, it sort of has been coming over the years, but it was really popularized by Professor Amy Edmondson of Harvard Business School, who showed that psychological safety drives learning, collaboration, and innovation. We unpacked why psychological safety is such a foundational, if it were, largely because without it, the rest of the four areas are not as effective if mm-hmm. the team doesn't have this space where everyone feels some level of safety. And today we come to your favorite one, which is dependability.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. All right. So let's get to that one. Let's actually talk more about it, you know, because dependability can sound straightforward, you know, just do your job, right?
Yeah.
But in high performing teams, it seems to go much deeper. Can you then unpack what dependability actually looks like in practice and why it's such a powerful driver of team performance?
No, absolutely. So dependability goes beyond just showing up. It's about showing up prepared, following through on commitments, and being consistent over time.
Mm.
Now, that becomes a problem. So this consistency over time, it's not an easy one.
No.
for all of us.
No.
Showing up prepared, yeah, you can prepare, you can follow through on commitments, and now to do that consistently over time becomes a challenge.
Mm.
And in dependable team, people can trust that their colleagues will do what they said they will do. And that creates confidence to move forward, even under pressure. You know, Brené Brown puts it so well when she says, trust is built in the smallest of moments.
Mm.
So if the email from the email that gets answered, the deadlines that get met, the promises that are kept, and if someone consistently sort of follows through, they are saying to you that you can count on me. Mm-hmm. And the message gets repeated over time and with consistency. That's what over time holds the team together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, just listening to us and even as I listen to myself, I can remember one or two emails I haven't answered, a number of promises I haven't kept.
Yes, I'm on that list.
This one feels like it's the hardest if it were.
I'm on that list of unfulfilled promises. You must remember me now.
I still have to remember you.
Yes. But while you're on that, Dr. Manda, when you actually said that, you know, trust is built in the smallest moments, you reminded me, somebody once said, trust is lost in buckets and regained in droplets.
Yeah. And that is so spot on, because to lose the trust, you know, one event and a lot gets lost in it. But to build it, to be that consistent person over and over again. And then we will get to the repairing in a moment.
Okay.
The word I want to sort of anchor us on with this week is another psychological word again. But when people have psychological ownership of the work, they tend to move and become more dependable. Yes, they will make the mistake. Yes, they will. They might not reply to that email. They will miss a deadline. But you can tell when you are working with someone that has taken psychological ownership of the work that they are meant to do.
Mm.
Now, when you are in a team and when you lead a team and they haven't fully owned for themselves and decided for themselves that my work matters here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give it my best, I'm going to show up the best possible way. If they haven't gotten that, that's oftentimes that you find there's a challenge with dependability. And the question, I think, to our listeners, as you reflect, especially those listening to us here in South Africa, the question is this. For the work that you probably wake up to go do tomorrow or next week, because many may have taken the rest of the week off, do you or have you taken full-on psychological ownership of the work that you do? Or is it a matter of, I'm supposed to do this, and then I go hand it over to my boss, who then somehow, you know, must just kind of do whatever they need to do with it.
Yeah.
And the psychological ownership, it erodes over time. Mm. So oftentimes when we show up to a new role, we are excited. We tell everyone, now I work at this company. They've got nice bonuses, and then, you know, they give you, back in the days, you get a business card, you've got all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the psychological ownership of the work is high. Mm-hmm. And then something happens, then it drops, something happens, then it drops, something happens, then it drops. Then sometimes it might eventually end up being, you know what, I'm just going to do my job.
True, true.
It's that point then where you are now building a brand around yourself as someone who's just doing the job.
Sure.
And you are forming a character of someone that is not dependable, that cannot be trusted. And to rebuild that sometimes might take a lot of work. And so for our listeners today is to sort of say, are you the person that can be dependent on? Not necessarily only based on the on you know how you've always delivered and you're consistent. I think that we acknowledge that it's possible to miss a deadline, mm-hmm. to miss an email. But can someone sort of when they think of you go, that person owns their work.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Look, you've really painted a clear picture there. But here's the truth. We know life does happen. Life happens, you know. Deadlines slip, people drop the ball. So what do teams then do when someone isn't being dependable? How do you maintain trust and accountability without creating fear or resentment?
Yeah, very, very good question. And also, we don't want to come across as sort of judgmental in any way. But this idea of being a dependable team member is a good one. And if we're to be on, dependability doesn't mean perfection. It just means honesty and kind of accountability and kind of repairing things when they do go wrong. When someone slips up, what matters most is sort of how we respond together as a team. And the key here is dialogue, right? So at every individual level, we said the key is psychological ownership of the work and the responsibilities you have been afforded, regardless of the many things that happen. Now, for a team to move forward, the issue is largely, can we have an honest conversation about what we are observing as a behavior that's starting to affect us as a team in a way that we are now no longer able to move forward? You know, when the work is kind of, we're splitting the work and we sort of say, yeah, Lucas is going to do that, that one is going to do that. And then people just kind of start to roll their eyes because they know, you know, what we say to that one is hardly gonna, it's not gonna be done. Okay, that one, that person's work will need to be repeated. What's important is having that conversation that says, hey, you missed three deadlines and this is not ideal. I'll give you a quick anecdote. So one of the just brilliant books on sort of teams written a while back by Patrick Lencioni, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And I think many people know and familiar with this thing. But one of the key takeouts from there around accountability is great teams, in good teams, accountability is not just to the boss. So, you know, when it's not just vertical. Yeah. You know, when someone does something that's not ideal, it's not, in a good team, we don't leave that to the boss to hold that person accountable. Great teams, then peers hold each other accountable, whether or not they, you know, you work for me or et cetera, et cetera. It's about, can we see as team members that this one is doing this and it's impacting the quality of the work we deliver? We will peer to peer hold each other accountable. If we can do that, a dialogue that helps us as a team to kind of hold each other accountable, then we can then there's a good chance that we can repair trust and dependability.
Sure. I like the sound of that because it's I think sometimes we're afraid of offending one another, yet we actually claim to be a team. And the question is, how do we move forward if, you know, you end up getting this tag of, we're all going to do the work, but we know Luco is not going to submit anything. And so you're always that common factor. It's always you. You're always you're always the Beyonce of the show. But yeah, you are
the stereo.
Yeah, the special character, exactly. And famous for all the wrong reasons, actually. Yeah. You know? And we end up thinking, no, we'll wait for the boss. I think because we know she's also stubborn. She's not going to listen. But what are we? Are we not a team?
Sure, exactly. Exactly that. You know, there's a great book written also a while back called Crucial Conversations. Mm. And the idea of the book is that, you know, conversations and move from casual to crucial very quickly. And some of these are crucial conversations because people are afraid of offending each other. Mm. Now, you know, there's many things to do with the crucial conversation. One of the key things to take out from the book is if you don't have the crucial conversation, you will act it out.
Sure.
So if you don't talk to me about what I'm doing, it will still come out. It will just come out in actions. You know, we will avoid the work. We will walk around you. Eventually, you will still offend the person. And you probably will offend them worse by avoiding the crucial conversation or the dialogue. So you're sort of better off. Hard as it might be, and I'm talking to myself here also, I think it's better off to rather have that conversation straight away rather than acting that conversation out over the next weeks and months that follow.
That's so true. Now, Dr. Amanda, you shared about restoring alignment rather than punishing mistakes, offers such a grounded way to think about accountability. Still, in many teams, the bigger challenge isn't a major failure. It's the subtle everyday patterns that go unchecked. So, Dr. Amanda, can you then unpack some of the common behaviors or dynamics that gradually erode dependability over time?
Yeah, the missed meetings, the poor communications, and a whole range of these things. Before you know it, there's a brand around someone and people are not having the conversation with the person. And what's worse is when people are not even saying what they're saying clearly to the person. And they kind of go around the main conversation and everyone kind of knows what the issue is here,
but they tiptoe.
You know, we kind of go around the person, and that makes dependability worse. Mm. And if you lead a team, and people can see that this person is no longer dependable, by us as members of the team, and the boss is not doing anything about it, you know, the credibility of the leader goes with that as well, because then we kind of go, this one is afraid of doing the job that he's meant to do or she is meant to do, and if someone has been, you know, undependable for so long, and no one is doing anything about it, and no one is first having clear conversation, and where it's, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no type of clarity. Mm-hmm. If that is not happening, then over time that gets worse, and the last resort is perhaps having to make sure that this person go finds another team where they can be dependable. And you know what that means.
Yes, they're going to be a problem when they get there as well.
and that's why it's a leadership responsibility to first ensure that everyone holds that psychological ownership of the work. Mm. And as a leader, it's up to us to sort of saying, am I communicating enough importance of the work to make sure that everyone feels like it's not just an interview, it's not just a spreadsheet, it's not just a document, that this matters, right? Mm. So, again, we're making it the leader's problem here. If you lead a team, have you done enough to make sure that people psychologically own the work? And when they do, not only are they dependable and reliable, they also offer discretionary effort,
mm-hmm.
which is more work over potentially and above what they get paid for, where they kind of go, hey, I'm supposed to do this, but I think that if I do 1, 2, 3, 4 discretionarily, this thing will be powerful for the team. That's if people have got that psychological safety. The second piece we sort of say, dialogue, conversation, crucial as it might be, the sooner the conversations happen, the better the team becomes, mm-hmm. and the more dependable the team members become.
Sure. Now, Dr. Mando, one thing I've noticed is that when accountability is lacking, then dependability actually suffers. But there's often a fear that introducing accountability will feel rigid or punitive. So tell me, how can leaders build accountability in a way that actually strengthens trust and encourages consistent follow through?
Very good question. And this is important largely because dependability doesn't just happen, right? Mm. It's cultivated through consistency in leadership behavior. Simon Sinek reminds us that trust is not built through, sort of these grand gestures, but through small, repeated actions. When leaders consistently follow through, communicate transparently, and show up prepared, they create this environment where others are inspired to do the same. So now we're sort of coming to the third layer here. So we kind of say, hey, do we have psychological ownership of the work? Number two, we're kind of having this thing around, are we communicating often enough, transparently, and as clearly as we possibly can, even if some conversations they've moved from casual to crucial. Now, what we are now moving towards here is this idea of role modeling as a leader. So as a leader, if I show up and I show that I'm not easily dependable, I don't follow through, I'm not consistent, that might have the downstream effect on the rest of the team,
mm-hmm.
In their dependability. And if I am inconsistent like that, the question is, am I also sort of putting the effort to repair the trust and the dependability?
Mm.
So this third point is around, how are you role modeling dependability, mm-hmm. if you are looking to have a team that's dependable? And when you slip up in the delivery, are you, do you showcase the repair work? Do you go over and above to beyond apologizing, to kind of doing a little bit more than just ignoring that, hey, I said we were going to do this, I didn't do it, and it's as if nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
What you're communicating there to your team members is that it doesn't matter, really.
Yeah.
You don't have to be dependable. So this is the third layer to just sort of reemphasize, is how can we as leaders role model dependability? And when there's a trust break, how do we come back and repair it? And the more people see that being role model, there's a higher likelihood they're likely going to showcase the same behavior as well.
That's so true. Now, when dependability starts to break down, Dr. Manda, in a team, it doesn't just affect deadlines. We know that. It actually erodes trust and it makes collaboration harder. So what can leaders then do when they start to notice this? How can they begin restoring dependability without actually creating a culture of fear or blame?
Beautiful work by Liz Wiseman. In her book Multipliers, she describes how leaders, should strive to create an environment where people feel responsible,
mm-hmm.
for the outcomes,
sure.
right? And not just the tasks. And sort of building this culture, starts with sort of setting the expectations right. That the outcomes is that ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So the tasks here, as we build to the final end point, there could be slip-ups, there could be You know, things can fall apart, and you know, dependability might be questionable. But ultimately, we're sort of getting to the outcome. So practically, what's key here is making the expectations visible and agreed upon, not just assumed.
True.
That it's very easy to sort of assume that, you know, everybody knows what we are trying to achieve.
And that's where you mess up.
It takes away the work.
Once you open that room for assumption.
Yeah. That's where things fall apart. So making sure that expectations and one of the authors kind of saying, hey, the job now at the CEO level, the job is to repeat yourself as many times as possible. So essentially, if you aim to be a CEO, it calls it, you know, the chief repetition officer. And constantly repeating yourself, these are the expectations we want to deliver to, et cetera, et cetera. Now, people get bored by kind of saying the same stuff, and we kind of just assume, okay, everybody knows what the expectations are. Making sure the expectations are agreed upon and then well known, and we're constantly checking for clarity and creating this rhythm of follow throughs. Some people, character wise, they're not easily, the people to kind of follow through. But rhythms of either weekly check-ins or however long it takes for the team to sort of come together to review where they're at.
Yeah.
Those rhythms, they can save all of us from kind of not staying the course and being dependable.
True. Listen, Dr. Manda, I love how you actually emphasize that restoring dependability is less about control and more about shared commitment. But it's also true that sometimes team members genuinely do fall short. Maybe due to burnout, disengagement or personal struggles. So how can leaders hold people accountable while still showing grace and understanding?
Absolutely. This is where that heart of values-based leadership is tested, because true leadership isn't just about keeping performance high, but doing so in a way that honors people. Accountability and compassion aren't opposites. They are essentially the two sides of a healthy leadership. Daniel Goleman, the father of sort of the modern father of this emotional intelligence research, speaks about how the power of empathetic confrontations. So it's a confrontation, but it's anchored on empathy. Leaders who create these high performance teams are those who say, I care about you.
Wow.
I also care about the work we are doing together. And when we drop the I care about you piece, and it's just now about the work we're doing together, that's where it's almost now feels like, all you just want is just numbers and delivery.
True.
So when someone drops the ball, my advice is not to default, to avoid harshness. Instead, I think, you want to start with curiosity to figure out, hey, what's behind the missed commitment? You want to offer support, and you want to reaffirm shared purpose to sort of say, this is why it matters. Again, because maybe the person has, first of all, when you start with curiosity, you might find out that there's just so much going on outside their control.
True.
That maybe, we do all need to kind of come around to support. And then kind of having this hand always reaching out to say, I'm here to support. The third element is key, because it links us back to the first one, which is reaffirm the shared purpose of the work we are doing. Because it might just be that the psychological ownership of the work is starting to slip away. And therefore, there's sort of this reconfirmation again to say, hey, this work matters because of 1, 2, 3, 4. So these three things will be key. Start with curiosity, offer support, reaffirm shared purpose.
And it kind of aligns with what you're saying. Don't get tired of repeating yourself. Just repeat yourself if you have to, because like you're saying, one of the team members might have kind of lost the vision somewhere along the line.
Yes. And people, you know, they often say, you know, when you say something once, people haven't heard you. They kind of go, oh, it's another idea from the boss. He came from a conference or she came from a, she had listened to a podcast on her way to work or she was overseas. And now only once you've kind of said this thing 7, 8, 9, 10 times, do people kind of go, right. So this thing actually has to be done. This thing actually matters. And if you find that you are not repeating yourself enough, there is a good chance that that alignment, that psychological ownership of the work might be getting lost over time. Mm. And that you might have to resort to some of these mechanical ways to get people to work. Like, okay, we all have to be here or this and that. And some of that stuff, you know, it really isn't necessary. Once people kind of grab hold of what I do matters, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to be there for my team. And whenever there's a problem, we have a conversation, and I see my leaders role modeling the same thing. And then when there's a problem, you know, it's not a default of sort of a screaming game or any of that stuff. They are curious. They are there to offer support. And they constantly repeat themselves to reaffirm the purpose. If leaders kind of do some of that, there's a good chance that the team members might be dependable.
I agree. Absolutely. Now, Dr. Manda, as we continue this new series on building teams that thrive, what's that one key takeaway that you'd want leaders to sit with, you know, this week? And can you then remind our listeners on how they can connect with you guys and the Super Lead team if they'd like to take this further?
I think the key takeout for today, last week, the previous episode, we spoke about this idea of creating a psychologically safe environment. Mm. And I think you probably know where this is going now. and for today, to have teams that are reliable, dependable, that members, you know, are doing their best, and yes, no one is perfect. I would like to encourage our listeners to reaffirm the purpose enough times, and often enough, to ensure that the team members have the psychological ownership of the work. That piece just moves you forward in just thousands and thousands of miles, where people are not just doing what they're doing because they're told they must just do and throw it across to the next person. When we come together and psychologically own this piece of work, you know, you end up doing so much well. And if you are an individual contributor in a team, the question is, how much do you psychologically own the work? If that has eroded over the years, is there something perhaps you can do to reflect, to bring yourself back again to say, hey, I will do this work as if it's unto the Lord. You know, I this is my act of serving. I think it was Dr. Martin Luther King who kind of sort of paraphrasing here, that the best way to love your neighbor is to do your work well.
Wow.
So if you can do what you do with all your heart, with all your might, as if you're doing this unto the Lord, fully psychologically owning this piece of work, however small it might be, not only do you become dependable as a team member, but also it's ministry. There's branding around you where people go, in the midst of all that Luko is going through, she still delivers the highest quality. In the midst of the politics and all the things that happen in organizations, good and bad, you can depend on Luko. And then the question is, how though? And when we dip deeper, we realize she's doing this as if it's an act of worship.
Wow.
And then, you know, that creates an opportunity to share the good news because, you know, there is a joy, there is a love that's in you that you are sort of radiating through the work. But if the work is not great and not dependable, the question is, who is behind what we see?
Eesh.
And, you know, next time when you show up with the Bible, it's kind of go, so should I follow your faith so I could deliver like you?
What a challenge. Yeah. What a challenge. So how do we get a hold of you guys?
Oh, yeah. Good questions. So we have a WhatsApp. We have a WhatsApp number. I think the team manages 078-020-0051. My email is mandat@superlead.co.za. And the same breath, superlead.co.za will be our website. So someone wants to get hold of us. And then next week we continue with building thriving teams. We are going to talk about unpacking this sort of how do you structure your team well and how do you make sure there's what I call super clarity, as I'm the author of a book called Lead with Super Clarity.
Thank you so much, Dr. Manda. This has really been insightful. We'll do it again next week, same time, same place.
Lovely. Have a fantastic week ahead.
Thanks, God bless.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today. Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.